The scripture for this morning comes from Acts 9, 1 through 6, 15 through 19. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him, and falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, thank you, Bo, and it's good to be back after a week off. My name is Steve Brucker, and I have been at Trinity right from the beginning because my son works here. And it has been a privilege for me to be part of this team during the summer while Jonathan was off, and we were just talking about that hoping that he's having a relaxing time during his time off. And a little quick background is I was a physical education teacher, and there were 3 years where I spent as a pastor in different ministries as an associate pastor and as a youth pastor. Now, I want you to imagine something in your mind as you sit there. Think of one of the worst people you could ever imagine, a non-Christian. Somebody who is so bad, you don't think God could ever save that person. I know I can think of a person like that. In fact, if you look up the word evil in the dictionary, you'll find his picture next to it. Now, this person has to be a person that you've got it locked in your mind that God could never save this person because he's so bad. Do you have that person in your mind? Well, now I'm going to take you back 2,000 years, and we're going to meet a person just like that. And his name is Saul. And Saul ministered at a time after Jesus had already died on the cross. And when Jesus was in ministry, he faced tremendous opposition. And it mainly came from the religious Jews. And they threatened him. And his teaching on grace and his teaching and speaking for God angered them. And people were following him. And that angered them. And this led to the crucifixion, and they thought the threat was done. They thought, man, we got rid of this guy. It's all over. Well, lo and behold, something suddenly happened. Of course, Jesus rises from the dead, and the church breaks out, and so does persecution. Now the church is under attack. Christians are under attack, and the main person is Saul. He's the one that's going after them. Now, who is Saul? Saul was born in Tarsus, which is today in modern Turkey. And he was a Pharisee. And he was well-trained in what he knew and what he believed. And we first learn about Saul during the stoning of Stephen. Now, before they stoned Stephen, Luke writes about Stephen that I like the name Stephen. That he was a man full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. And he was out doing miracles and teaching in the streets. And again, the religious Jews got angry. They arrested him and they brought him in. And then, miraculously, he gets a chance to preach. He gets a chance to teach to these religious Jews. And what he does is he teaches the history of the nation of Israel. And then as he finishes, he condemns them. He tells them that they're resisting the Holy Spirit and they're not following the law. And boy, they got incensed. And they took him out to stone him, which they did, and they killed him. And what sets the scene for introducing Saul is this. In Acts chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "And Saul approved of his execution." Well, this speaks volumes about Saul, and we're going to get to him in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. "But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem." Believers at this time were not known as Christians. They were known by the name The Way, which refers to John 14:6. It should be very familiar with you. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father through me." Well, Saul of Tarsus, he's consumed. He wants to not only arrest Christians, he wants to put them on trial and possibly have them executed. But Jesus is going to have a different plan for Saul. Completely different plan. What happened was totally unexpected. He came to arrest Christians and not become one. And I'm going to walk you through this experience of Saul and how it relates to us. And I have a two-step process by which we'll do this. Step one, Saul needed to trust Jesus Christ. And step two, Jesus was going to use Saul to serve others. And these two steps are for us. Step one, we need to trust in Jesus Christ. And then step two, God wants to use you. You were saved to serve, and he wants you to serve others. So let's start with step one. All right, so Saul is going to have an encounter totally unexpected. He's on the road to Damascus to persecute Christians, and we read in Acts chapter 9, verses 3 through 6. "Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do.'" Suddenly this light shows up all around him, and there are no streetlights at that time. And then a voice comes out of this light. And Jesus is going to confront Saul. And the voice says this, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Well, why did Jesus ask that? He was going after Christians. And the conclusion we draw is that when Christians are attacked, you're attacking Jesus. And the voice from the light convicts Saul of his sins. Just like the voice from the light convicted you and convicted me. That voice that convicted us of our sins. That we needed to turn away from our sins and turn to Jesus. Saul then asked this question, "Who are you, Lord?" That's an interesting statement when Saul says that, "Who are you, Lord?" What is acknowledging is that Jesus is God. He got all that in this experience. He knows that Jesus is God. And we hear the words in verse 5, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." And at this point, Saul has put all the pieces together. He has now become a follower of Jesus Christ. This was a dramatic conversion of an enemy of Christ. And he demonstrates to all of us, that person you had in your mind and I had in my mind, if he can save Saul, he can save anyone. Jesus had a purpose for Saul. He was saved to serve, just like he has a purpose for each one of us in this room. We are saved to serve. And once Saul is born again, he's going to learn how Jesus is going to use him. But there's a good question that comes up right here is, what is the purpose for believers? Romans 8, 28 and 29. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Here's the key. For those who are called according to his purpose. That's us. We were called according to his purpose. For those who he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. So what does called according to his purpose mean? Well, he defines it. He tells us right there in the next verse, verse 29, we are to be conformed to the image of his son. That's his purpose for us. That was his purpose for Saul. Saul was to be transformed to be like Jesus. And we are to be conformed to the image of his son. Simple, right? That's easy. Not. Of course not. It's a lifelong goal. It feels, I don't know about you, but it feels like I go two steps forward and one step back. It's a daily challenge to be transformed to the image of his son. Well, next, Jesus is going to unveil to Saul a plan for his life. He is going to use his gifts and talents to serve others. But first, he had to make sure that Saul was a Christian. He had to make sure that Saul trusted Jesus. He had to make sure that he was being conformed to his image. So next, we move to step two. Saul is going to serve others, just like we are going to serve others. You see, Jesus commissioned Saul, and he tells him in Acts chapter 9, verse 6, but rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. There's a man by the name of Ananias, and Jesus wants him to meet Ananias. But Ananias doesn't want to meet Saul. Would you? Would you want to meet Saul? Somebody who convicts Christians and murders them? I wouldn't. I wouldn't want any part of it. But Jesus calms Ananias and tells him this in Acts chapter 9, verses 15 and 16. But the Lord said to him, go, for he, talking about Paul, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Whoa, wait a minute. How is this possible? Saul is a persecutor. He's a murderer. And yet he's called a chosen instrument of Jesus. This has to be a typo. It can't be true. But what we learn is that Jesus forgives his enemies when they place their trust in Jesus Christ. Romans 5:10, for while we were yet enemies, we were reconciled. Reconciled is a fancy word for we were made right with God. We're no longer broken. We're righteous. We're forgiven. Reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more now we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. For while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. In other words, Jesus can use anybody. Even the worst person that you had in your mind, Jesus can use that person. Now, if you're sitting here and you say to yourself, well, I don't really know what my purpose is. Well, you do know one is you are to be conformed to the image of his son. But how he's going to use you just means that you just haven't discovered it yet. Because when you are born again, you are saved for a purpose. And so Jesus is going to reveal to Paul, or slash Saul, we're going to get to that in a second, and going to tell him how he's going to use him. And he tells him this. He says, you're going to go to the Gentiles, the kings, and the nation of Israel. So Saul, who later becomes Paul, is going to be an ambassador to the world to tell people about Jesus Christ. He's going to preach Jesus to the Jews. He's going to preach Jesus to the non-Jews, which are called Gentiles. And he's going to preach Jesus to the rulers, to the kings. He's going to evangelize the lost. And he's going to start churches all over the Mediterranean area. And then when he gets arrested and thrown in prison, he's going to write books. Those books are in our New Testament, those letters that he wrote. Wow. God used the worst guy in the world in amazing ways. Sure can give us hope. But then Jesus warns Saul. He says, you're going to suffer. That's what he tells Ananias. In fact, in Acts chapter 9, verse 16, it says, for I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. Jesus tells Saul, guess what? You're going to have this wonderful ministry. You're going to do great things. But you're going to suffer also. You're going to experience great pain. Would you sign up? We're signing up in the back for anybody who wants to experience pain and suffering. So how much did Saul slash Paul suffer? We'll actually call him Paul now. They're one and the same person. Out of 2 Corinthians 11, 24 to 28, we read that he endured 39 lashes five times. Now, the reason they did 39 lashes was the law said they could only do 40, and to make sure they didn't make a mistake, they stopped at 39. Five times. And those straps on those whips many times had bone fragments to tear the skin on his back. Five times. Three times beaten by rods. One time, as I mentioned before, he was stoned and left for dead. Shipwrecked three times. And constantly in danger from robbers and other dangerous people. And this is what Jesus told him. Saul could have backed out right then and there, but he didn't. He stepped forward, didn't stop him. And he went out to tell people about the risen Jesus. And part of it was the power of the Holy Spirit, and the other part was Jesus had directly told him, you're going to be a chosen instrument of mine. Now, there is worldwide persecution going on right now. We're sheltered. Amen. We are definitely sheltered where we live. But a statistic from Christianity Today says that there are 13 Christians murdered per day worldwide. 13. The vast majority of these attacks, they come from religious groups. And I can imagine the Apostle Paul being here today and saying, when can I sign up? No fear. He believed that telling people about the risen Jesus was more important than his life. Now, Jesus directly commissioned Paul. It was a voice, a light. He's directly commissioned. And he has commissioned us. Can he do a direct commission just like that? Absolutely. God can do anything, but that's really rare, a commission like what Paul got. He has other ways to communicate how he's going to use us. And one of the main ways is he sends the Holy Spirit. Everybody who has trusted in Jesus, you have received the Holy Spirit. And that's where we learn what our gifts, talents, and passions are all about. And many of the gifts that the Bible talks about are used in the context of the church. And this is not a spiritual gifts sermon, so we're going to lay that aside, but focus more on the opportunities that you have to serve. Let's look at further with what's going on with Saul. Acts 9, 17 to 19. So Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord who appeared to you on the road which you came has sent me so that you may regain your sight." I didn't mention that, but Paul was blinded, temporarily blinded, and now he's going to regain his sight and be filled. Here it is. Paul's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized. Taking food, he was strengthened. And Jesus then began to open doors for ministry for Saul / Paul. In fact, we'll look at three examples, and the first example is from Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, we see it, the word Paul used for the first time. Paul and Barnabas are in Antioch, and they're preaching to the people, and they're going through the history of the nation of Israel leading to the crucifixion and the resurrection. And they're telling the people that forgiveness is through Jesus Christ. And the crowd loved it. And some came to know Jesus Christ while they were preaching. But of course, the religious Jews got angry and chased them out of Antioch. The second is a chance that Paul had to travel to Lystra. And there, the Jews persuaded the crowd to stone him. He doesn't even get a chance to get going. They stone him. They think he's dead. He's not. The disciples pick him up, dust him off. And what does he do? He goes right back in the streets preaching Jesus. They could not stop him from telling people about Jesus. And then three, he's going to team up with Silas, and they're going to head to Macedonia. And there he tells the Jews that Jesus is the Messiah. And again, they become incensed at him, and they attack him, and he just steps back and says, "That's it. No more. I'm done with you. I'm going to the Gentiles." And to encourage Paul, Jesus is going to appear to him. Acts 18, 9 and 10. And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, "Do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you. For I have many in this city who are my people." Jesus was with Paul the whole time, even when he was suffering, because Paul was his chosen instrument. He didn't abandon him. He didn't leave Paul as an orphan. He gave him the power of the Holy Spirit. And from Acts chapter 13 all the way through the rest of the book of Acts, we see Paul using his gifts and talents to reach people for Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to say this, and Sydney said it earlier, is here at Trinity, God wants to use you. There are opportunities here. And the Apostle Peter tells us about the work of the Holy Spirit as far as gifts go. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. As each has received a gift, as each. That means everybody here, if you have the Holy Spirit, you have a spiritual gift. Each one, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Peter clearly tells us each one of us has received a gift. And each gift is unique. They're like spiritual snowflakes. You know, a snowflake, no two are alike. Well, the same thing in this area of spiritual gifts. Paul was used in a very unique way, and so will you be. You can be used in a very unique way. And Peter says that we are to use our gifts to serve others. And what that looks like, I don't have a clue. I know what it looks like for me, but I don't have a clue for you. But there are always opportunities to serve. Now, one way to learn your spiritual gifts is through trial and error. Maybe you've done a little bit of this. I know when I first came to know Christ, I got involved in the middle school ministry. And this was a big church, so the middle school group was large, and I got a chance to teach. Now, you got to understand, my speaking ability was far ahead of my knowledge, my content knowledge of my faith. And so I got up there to teach on James. And I thought I did a pretty good job on James. And I taught, and the week went by, and the next Sunday came, and one of the teacher's adult leaders came up to me and handed me a book. And she said, "Steve, I think you'll like this." I said, "Okay." So that next week, I'm thumbing through the book, and I wanted to see how well I taught on James. Oh, man. What I didn't realize is there were two key players by the name of James. One was the disciple called James, and one was a brother of Jesus called James. And I blended them together. Oh, it was a mess. I had no clue until I looked in that book. I still laugh because she didn't tell me anything. She just handed me the book and let the Holy Spirit condemn me. And I had a choice right there. This trial and error thing, you have a choice. You can quit teaching, give it up because this is not your thing, or I could study more. Fortunately, I used the latter, and I began to study more and tried to avoid embarrassing situations like that. But the bottom line is, whatever your gift is, Jesus wants to use you to serve others. Here, the Apostle Paul comes from being a persecutor of Christians to a follower of Jesus Christ. And empowered by the Holy Spirit, he led a lot of people to Jesus Christ. And he kept serving others up until the point he was executed in a Roman prison. We can look to Paul as an example, but we can also look to Jesus. He's a great example. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus didn't come here to be served by us. He came here to serve us. He came here to go to the cross and take our place and take the penalty we deserve so we could be forgiven. And every one of us that have trusted Christ, who have placed your faith in Christ, you have received that Holy Spirit, and you are now empowered to serve others. Now, there's multiple places to serve, and not just at church. One example, I'm a physical educator and a coach type person, and I think right away, you that are coaching like a game like soccer, there is great opportunities for Christians to be out there coaching soccer or teaching dance or teaching gymnastics. Christians can shine in places like that in our community. At Trinity, I am on the ops team once a month, and I teach third through fifth once a month. And there's always opportunities in both of those ministries, the greeting ministries, the parking lot, and all that. Now, here's a little clarification. There are times when there's more opportunities to serve. What do I mean by that? I can tell you that schedules limit your time. Maybe your life is so hectic that maybe you can't serve at that time. That's okay. It's okay if things are a little too hectic. Schedules change. Kids grow up. Work is less hectic. And there's more opportunities to serve. I know for me, when I had my three kids, I didn't serve as much as I can now. Now I'm semi-retired. I have much more time, many more opportunities to say yes and serve. So just, I'm not here to beat anybody up. I'm just saying examine your schedule and your family and your obligations and look for opportunities to serve. We look to Jesus, we look to Paul, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was asked one time, what are the two greatest commandments? You should know that. The first one is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like the first, love your neighbor as yourself. Trusting Jesus is loving God. And serving others is loving your neighbor. Jesus died on the cross for someone as evil as Saul. And he used him powerfully. And he died on the cross for us so he can use us powerfully. And we just need to say yes when that opportunity comes. Let me pray. Jesus, you came not to be served, but to serve and to give your life as a ransom for many. And apart from you, we can do nothing. Father, we praise you for sending your Holy Spirit to empower us to serve others. And I pray that you will open doors and opportunities for us today to serve you in a meaningful way here at Trinity and here in our community. We are Christ's ambassadors, ready to serve others. We ask for all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.